Everybody come and catch the show. You and dad jokes, they got plenty of those. So relax and listen on as Dev and Kyle start the apocalypse.
It is struggle bus o'clock.
God. Yeah. I just shared with Kyle an image of what I literally see when I blink.
That's just stars?
Like the bottom part, like the fairy dust kind of like, not the top part where it's really bright, just like the bottom part. Like that little bottom left corner is like sparkly.
Dusty sparkle.
Yeah, like dusty sparkles. Yeah.
Isn't that your college name?
That is my OnlyFans name. Dusty Sparkles.
I like it.
Yeah. For the viewers at home, listeners at home, I took a knee to the temple tonight playing kickball at the ripe old age of almost 40 and suffered a mild concussion. So yeah, this is going to be an interesting record.
It's going to be a show.
Yeah. I'd been drinking before I got the knee to the dome, but we made the out. I made the right play. I sacrificed my body. This was not the first time I've sacrificed my body for my team.
Or science.
Or science. Yeah. Or the show.
We can double team all 10 of you.
All 10. The ace.
Speaking of which, this is Dev and Kyle Start the Apocalypse.
It is.
Where we're just two dads making a podcast.
We are.
And one of us has a concussion.
I do.
That's the joke.
That's it. That's a joke. What are you drinking, Juicy J? Is that what it says?
This is a Juicy Jack.
Juicy Jack.
Juicy J was my nickname on OnlyFans.
Juicy J.
Juicy J and Dusty Sparkles Start the Apocalypse.
I think Juicy J from 3-6 Mafia would like to have a word.
Probably, yeah. I'll probably just pick a new name. I'll be the Walter Cronkite of OnlyFans. That's how that could go.
You'll be the Kanye West of OnlyFans.
I will not. Absolutely will never. That's God. That is.
Yeah.
It's shocking that is far and away the worst thing I've ever said on this show. Out of all the things I've said on this show, and I've said some doozies on this show.
That's subjectively arguable.
What's even in the top five compared to, and again,
off the top of my head.
For those of you who haven't listened to the entire run, I did say that before Kanye went crazy.
Yes.
So I thought he was just a tortured genius.
Right.
And so that was my intention.
To be fair, he had shown glimpses of maybe being a little batshit.
Haven't we all?
But then he went completely off the rails. And that was before the completely off the rails. Like the undisputable off the rails.
Undisputable king of the rails. What is even cracks the top five? I think that one's number one, number two, number three, four, and five.
I can't think right now because I have a mild concussion.
11 inches around.
Don't ask me. Don't you throw my own sound bites back at me. You can't do that.
I can do whatever I want. If you want to throw sound bites back at me, you should get a soundboard.
My tongue is the Keith Richards of tongues.
It's true.
Uh-huh.
It's true.
This is video montage footage.
While you were puking before the show could start, I was summoned by screams to go murder a fat scorpion on the kitchen counter. And
is that like...
It's not a euphemism. No.
Okay. Just making sure.
It was... I'm holding up. It crawled across the electrical outlet. It was the size of a regular two-prong, two-inlet electrical outlet.
Wide? Not like long. Like, oh, long.
Like the, sorry, it's on the side.
So it was crawling across it from like left to right, not up and down.
An electrical socket is a rectangle. The scorpion from claws to tail was as long as the long direction of an electrical outlet.
Okay, gotcha.
Because on the counter, my electrical outlets are sideways. That's why I was confusing you.
Yeah. I'm thinking like traditional electrical outlet on a wall.
I should have taken the opportunity to just say to you that everyone's electrical outlets are always sideways. and made you crazy to go look in your house in your current stupefied state?
I can see three right here. I don't need to go do that. I mean, there's one right here. I mean, I don't need to do that. I know how a traditional electrical outlet is usually placed. And I understand on countertops, they're typically, not always, but typically horizontal instead of the traditional vertical.
I think you're missing the headline that I had to murder a 4-inch scorpion.
You murdered a 4-inch scorpion in your home.
Mm-hmm. That's Arizona, though. It's like a Friday.
That's normal for you.
It's true. I found one on my back patio once that was the size, like the length and the width of a kitchen sponge. I'll send you that photo sometime. Like I put a kitchen sponge next to it, just a regular normal for kitchen sponge, and the tail and the claws are longer than the long way, and the big fat body is fatter than the section.
Long, very long.
You froze for a second.
I was like, I thought you froze.
Nope. No, it was you. The world froze for you, buddy.
I thought I was going crazy for a second. I thought I was like, the concussion really hit in that bad.
How does a knee get close to your temple during kickball?
Balls going towards, I was playing third base. Guy was playing back shortstop behind me. The ball was attempted to be bunted. So in kickball, it has to come past the line that goes through the middle of the infield through the pitcher's mound or pitcher's circle, mm-hmm. not a mound. And it has to get past that to be in play. If it doesn't go past it, it's a foul ball.
It's a line that goes from like third base to first base across through the pitcher.
Right. So it was two or three. I think that was the third one that was short of it that it came through. So the next one that came through, kicker kind of nailed it. It's a co-ed league. So I was trucking for it and went and couldn't pick it up with just one hand coming across. So guy that was playing short came through. He was hauling ass. I had to duck for him to have a chance to make a play at first, and we needed just one more out, and we had a chance to make it. So I just ducked down and tried to go into the fetal position. And as I got down and squatted as low as I could, he made the play and threw it. But when he did, he tried to jump over me, and his knee just full force, bam, right into the side of my head. And he tumbled over and then came up. We made the play, made the out.
Great.
And then he turns around. He's like sitting up and just like turns around and he goes, "We got him." And we just fist bumped. And I was like, yeah, I'm seeing stars literally right now.
Wow. So he was jumping. This is a jumping, flying knee to the skull.
Yeah.
Like a Street Fighter move.
I mean, I went down fast enough that I was fully squatted down to where I was only a couple feet in the air. I wasn't like just barely kind of squatted down and him jumping really high. He was just trying to jump 2 or 3 feet over.
This guy sounds bad at jumping.
No, he's good at jumping because he made another out to end the game where he jumped probably, I don't know, 30, 40 inches in the air and caught it just bam to keep it from going over his head and made the out.
Wow.
He was even surprised that he was like, oh, after hitting me in the head, like, his knee, I'm sure, is going to be wrecked tomorrow because it was red, super red, after he hit me in the side of my hard head. And I'm going to have a nasty mark too, probably, like right in here, right around in here.
Well, you have so much hair, I can't see. That's a compliment there, that you're the whole, you don't have baby flesh on the side of your head. But what I was going to say is that is a completely old dad, like, consolation prize, reaching the point in life where it's not that you're not going to get hurt, but when right. you get hurt, you're like, I bet my skull broke that guy's knee.
He's going to Florida tomorrow on a plane. So if it's swollen, that change of pressure is going to make it feel real good in the air.
It's funny when you said like on a plane, I was about to make fun of you for saying that because whenever anybody in Arizona goes to Florida, it's always on a plane. But I guess on the East Coast, you live close enough to Florida that you can just
right.
just get there.
Yeah.
So I was about
it's 10 to 11 hour drive, depending on where you're going most of the time in the panhandle.
That's nothing.
15 to get to the, you know, southern tip ish. So yeah, it's a 1-day drive.
Easy.
Yeah.
We could be in Miami by sunrise, Dev. Let's go.
Well, you got to get on a plane to go here first.
Well, you're not allowed to go to sleep, so just wait for me.
Okay, fair enough. You can get a direct flight.
When are you allowed to go to sleep?
I don't know. It's been so long since I've had a concussion myself, and I used to know concussion protocol like that, but now I'm like kind of hazy on it. I need to Google that. I really do.
Here's what I mean, I wouldn't recommend that you try this because I think that you would get bad information, but my oldest child has no sense of self-preservation, like his entire life, even now today. Like, I believe that he's broken 6 or 7 adult teeth, just like broken them out of his face. I was just telling the story the other day. This is a great story. He was about 2 or so, 2.5 in this story. And we were at a gymboree. You know, gymboree, you have those?
We used to. We don't have them any longer.
So for those of you without toddlers in your lives, a gymboree is an indoor, you sign up for like a gymboree membership and you go there with your toddler child. They'll take them when they're like a baby, but they expect you to stay there.
Yeah.
And then they have like open gym where there's like a constantly changing indoor playground. Real popular in Arizona because especially when your kids are younger, you don't want to take them to the park when it's 100 and, oh, by the way, it's 120 degrees out right now in Arizona.
Unless you want to watch them melt.
Yeah. So thank God my kids are old enough to jump in the pool while I'm just looking out the window at them now. But anyway, we're at this gymboree. He climbs up. He's only 4 or 5 feet in the air, but he climbs up on this equipment and he's, hey, mom, dad, watch. And we're probably 5 good strides away from him. And without waiting for us to say, no, don't, he leaps and he's aiming for a giant foam, like a foam dome. He's going to land on it, like belly flop on this foam dome.
Yeah.
And that would have been fine if he had actually successfully aimed for the dome, he'd have been okay, except that the dome was next to another piece of equipment. And my wife and I both immediately saw
in slow motion
that his skull was aiming for the corner, like that, the outstretched corner of a box. He's just going to put
the point
through his forehead. I did not react as fast as my wife did. She was on the move. She could not get there fast enough to catch him. She gets a hold of the front of his face and his forehead, like Dikembe Mutombo in his prime, and just flips him over. And he lands flat on his back. They've got gym mats all in this place. So she turns him. He was going on a forward belly flop. She gets him by the face and the forehead and turns him over, changes his angle, and slams him on his back. And he's all giggles. The whole place is like a record scratch because no one else saw what was happening. From the perspective of everyone else in this gymboree, and it's a bunch of people that we barely know.
Your wife just performed a WWE move on your child.
Just grabbed a child out of the sky and slammed him into the ground like Ganon. Just put an end to this child. Luckily, the teacher also saw... recognized how horrible it looked to people who didn't know what was going on. I was like, yay, good job. And all the parents were like, yeah. So he made sure to like explain sort of loudly to her so that the eavesdroppers, he was like, good job. I saw him go, his face going for that corner. Everyone.
That was not any child abuse. That was child saving.
The crazy shit that he did. So the reason why I told you that is that we actually got tips and tricks from the pediatrician to decide when we needed to run him to the ER based on like skull and neck injuries.
Okay. I need to write this down because
you don't have to write it down. It's just one trick.
Oh, just a single trick.
Just jump up and down 2 or 3 inches off the ground.
Yeah.
And if, when you land, it hurts real bad, that's not good.
Okay.
Oh, he's doing it, everybody. All right, he's going off camera. There, he's jumping. He's bouncing. He's doing it more than once. It must not be excruciating. He didn't curl up in a little ball.
I mean, it doesn't feel good, but I've had worse. It felt worse earlier. Like, it felt like 10 times worse earlier.
Sure.
I think I'm good. I'm good, I think. To sleep. It's mild. Like, I never lost consciousness. I've been able to hold a conversation.
How do you know?
Well, I asked everybody. I was like, I didn't black out. Like, as soon as he hit me, I like rolled over and looked right at him and then got up.
I'm glad. But this has been a really enjoyable hour, Dev. So I'm ready to, there's only one thing left for us to say.
I'm looking at the timer. It's only been 17 minutes. You jackass. Oh, it's a good thing we are not in a studio together, because I would slap the shit out of you right now.
Go Joe Walsh on me?
Because for a split second, I was like, holy crap, did we? Wait, no, look up there. That jumping jarred something loose.
Just rattled it around?
I already had a few screws loose. That knee to the head. I used to be adventurer until I took a knee to the head instead of an arrow to the knee.
Go on a rampage on me like Joe Walsh in a hotel room?
Like Chris Benoit?
What did Chris Benoit do? I'll tell you the Joe Walsh story that I saw. Who's that?
Chris Benoit was a professional wrestler from Canada that had CTE that horrifically murdered his family and then committed suicide.
Oh my God. No, Joe Walsh is still alive.
From multiple concussions from wrestling.
Jesus. No. Thanks for bringing the show down, Dev. Now I do have to end it early. My gosh.
Wah, wah. We're going to edit all that out. Joe Walsh,
the guitarist from the Eagles. Did you hear what his comments on AI the other day? AI in the music?
Yeah. He said that we don't have to worry about AI creating art of any quality and substance until AI can trash a hotel room and throw a TV off a balcony into a pool and hit the dead center.
It's pretty impressive. Now, I will say I did a little extra Googling to find out how many times he did that. The story is apparently he and John Belushi, famous teetotaler John Belushi, did $28,000 worth of damage to a hotel room in $1967, which I believe is $1.7 million with inflation today.
Something about around there. Sounds about right.
Shaving a haircut, two bits, and they did 28 grand to a hotel room.
You're showing your age there with that one. Obviously, our parents are from the same era and have passed that along to us. And now we're passing it along to the next generation digitally.
That's what this entire show is about, Dev, is just giving back to the next generation.
Yes, in a very crass way. With humor.
I will tell you, in one way in which I have given to the next generation. We went out to dinner the other night, and at the table, they had one of the guys walking around doing balloon animals.
What are you at, Chuck E. Cheese?
No, we were at a local Arizona staple, Rustler's Roost. They got rattlesnake on the menu and classic cowboy decor. It's been there for, it may honestly have been there for 60 years, I think. It's been there since the 60s.
It's a little yeehaw.
It's not yeehaw. There's a lot of country bars, places where people go and do like yeehaw line dancing. No, this is like a regular restaurant, but certainly there's old West decor. So there's a balloon animal guy walking around, and while he's making balloon animals, he wants to tell a joke or two.
Is he dressed like a rodeo clown?
He was not. He was dressed, I would say, lavishly. He was a little bit. He was dressed demurely for a balloon animal guy.
Gotcha.
Right? A scale of balloon animal guy to rodeo clown, if those are the two ends of the spectrum, he was real close to balloon animal guy and not real close to rodeo clown. Okay. His bow tie was normal sized, but there was a bow tie.
And no makeup.
No makeup. No.
No red nose.
No.
Oversized shoes. Okay.
While he was making balloon animals, he made the mistake of engaging Kyle's children in a joke contest. He got told no less than 15 jokes. Like, he wanted to walk away, and my daughter, who I believe told him half of those jokes, was like, I got one more for you.
He's like, uh-huh.
Listen, they were legitimately funny, but because they're my kids, right? But I wanted to play the joke time theme, like when they started.
You played it in your head. You're like,
I did. Do you know what the joke time theme sounds like in my head?
Da, 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 da. Joke time. Please laugh.
the Chase version is what everyone hears, but when I think of it, I always just hear the Dev version. That's the version that's closest to my heart.
I hear Chase and myself singing with Chase in my head.
She told him her favorite joke, which is, it's not joke time, but I'm going to tell you her favorite joke. What do you call a flying bagel?
A flying bagel. I have no idea.
A plain bagel.
That was pretty good.
That's her favorite joke right now. I've heard that joke 30 or 40 times in the last 2 weeks.
You're like, I already know the punchline. She's just working on her delivery, I guess.
Yeah. Like stand-up comedy. Practice makes perfect.
Hmm. I get told I tell a lot of the same stories, and I'm like, I'm perfecting my craft. So when the next person hears it that hasn't heard it before, it's the best version to date.
I am actually kind of impressed at our staying power with, I don't think, repeating ourselves too much.
I mean, we're old. We forget.
If you've heard the same story from us twice, email us at devandkylesta@gmail.com. Let us know which joke you'd like to hear for a third time. See if we can get it.
Our story. Yeah.
We can perfect it.
Tell us what two episodes they came from and timestamp them. Do our job for us.
Do our job. Yeah. Be our guest. No.
Be our guest. That movie has been played on loop almost at my house the past couple of weeks.
Ooh, are you getting, you're getting into it? Oh, that's 2 years old. Yeah, you're getting into it, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The trick is just to get them hooked on movies that are tolerable.
Yeah. I'm going to show her Robin Hood and Sword in the Stone.
Men in Tights.
For classic Disney animation.
Those are good. Those are good.
Because I can watch those on loop, and I'll be okay with that. I don't know if I can do much more Beauty and the Beast.
I don't know if I've seen Sword in the Stone or Robin Hood this century.
Really?
Really.
I introduced the oldest to both of them. At first, he didn't like Robin Hood. Mm-hmm. But then he started watching it a second time by himself. And then for about 2 or 3 months, he just wanted to watch it over and over and over and over.
Nice.
And I'm like, hey. And then I showed him Sword in the Stone. He's only watched it once and felt the same way. And I'm like, hey, watch it again. You'll appreciate it better the second time.
Two things. One, when they watch movies, I don't tend to sit down and watch them with them. So then I have a very weird situation where I experience the movie that they're watching, but like Memento, where I see the whole movie. Like as I'm walking through, I see a scene, then I come back and I see another scene, and I don't really know how the movie works. That's happening right now. We got a recommendation. Friend of the show, Madeline.
Amen.
Recommended Nimona, which I have not seen the whole thing.
Excellent film.
And I went to my children. I said, hey, have you heard of this movie called Nimona? They're like, yeah, we watched it 3 times this week. Yep. Thanks a lot. Streaming, advertising, being on my TV, ruining the secrets, the special things I'm trying to show my kids. Like, oh, look, this is new. You know, your dad is the keeper of secret now. They just know about everything. But that's the movie right now that I have not seen the whole thing. But I've seen like 15 minutes at the beginning, then like 30 minutes somewhere, I think, in the middle. I still haven't seen the end. And I'm not sure. There's like 2 or 3 sections, and I'm not sure what order they're in because they're like, you know, different reveals from the plot.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to, eventually I'll watch it. That's what happened to me with Cars 2, is I eventually watched Cars 2 once beginning to end, and it made a whole lot more sense. I was under the impression that Vader is crowned King of England and uses his new powers to make Lightning McQueen move back to Radiator Springs despite the spy threat.
That actually might be a better movie that way.
Just to have Mater recut
it. Yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that. I can't remember. But yeah, Nimona was great. I highly recommend it. The 2-year-old sat and watched all of it just
rapt attention.
Oh, back and forth, just completely enthralled. Which first movie ever. Even Beauty and the Beast, she won't sit down and watch from beginning to end. She gets distracted. She's never watched the entire movie all the way through. She's seen all of it, but in little segments.
Sure.
Not all in the same time frame either.
It's the best way to watch it.
Yeah. So she's got the Memento. She doesn't tattoo moments on her leg and like go back and go, what's going on here? Spoiler for people that haven't seen Christopher Nolan's masterpiece with Guy Pearce.
No way to spoil Memento.
It's a great movie.
You can't, like, saying that the guy has tattoos on him and that the movie happens out of order seems like it's some sort of a spoiler, but still, I've watched the entire movie and I don't know that the entire movie functions as a spoiler. I don't think that that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know that I understand any more about it, the plot, having watched the movie, than I did before.
How many times have you seen it?
Just the once.
I could see that. Because the first time I saw it, I walked out with like so many questions and had to see it a second time and then went, oh, okay. Now, having seen everything and knowing different pieces and seeing different things with that knowledge, it makes it so much more sensible. I don't know. I can't talk. Don't you laugh at me.
I'm concussed. I can't think. I don't know how to talk.
What if I developed one of those weird maladies where people start talking a different accent after they suffer a traumatic event or like a traumatic head injury?
But you started sounding like you were.
I started talking like this all the time.
Oh my God.
This is my new voice.
Well,
it's Devin Kyle. Start the apocalypse.
It's been a great run, everybody. That's the end of the show. I have faith in you that you can recover from this.
I hope so. I really do.
I was going to ask you about something. We were talking about road trips last time because I had just come back from one. And I know, you know, the two of us talking and developing this friendship, you have a little bit more sort of general faith in the universe than I do.
Yes, you had.
I was going to ask you a question. This is a very weird connection for you. I think I might have stumbled upon a little piece of understanding, just sort of that feeling in your soul of assurance to make some anxiety go away that potentially comes from being more religious than I am. And the way I found this insight was that we had stopped on the road trip and then we were driving and I could not find my phone. And we were going 75 miles an hour down the road. I had no idea where my phone was. Looking around, looking in every pocket, couldn't find it anywhere. And I'm like pulling off to the side of the road, like next exit, flip it around, go back. We got to find this thing. And my wife says, check your watch. So I check my watch and I had a strong Bluetooth connection to my phone. And in that moment, didn't know where my phone was, but I had faith in Bluetooth. That it wasn't going to show a good connection to my phone. And I thought, is this what being friends with Jesus is like?
Not faith in humanity or faith in the world or faith in any kind of higher power.
Nope.
Faith in Bluetooth.
Yep.
Gave you the feeling of
maybe
all I don't of know. Those close to my phone. And I have proof.
Okay, my watch is connected. Everything's going to be okay. Huh? It's right here.
I have faith that it is in this car somewhere.
Yep.
I did not leave it at the last rest stop.
We are within 30 meters. Yeah, that's faith.
You're within 30 meters, but it's the car that's 30 meters behind you that's been following you since the rest stop that has your phone.
Just somebody behind
that's,
me.
That's the plot twist.
Track this guy down.
In the horror movie version of it. Like Jeepers Creepers.
I never saw that movie.
That it's a weird horror movie.
Where'd you get them peepers? Do they say that in the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. They actually played that old song in the movie. Like when the monster's coming around, the song starts playing.
Like an ice cream truck?
It's like they're saying the title of the movie in the movie.
Whoa.
On the ice cream truck.
Like when Bill and Ted say, excellent.
Excellent.
I also have a bunch of faith in GPS. Do you know where you're going without GPS anymore?
People, I mean, you could get out an actual paper map or an atlas.
Oh.
Or I guess they have like laminated maps now that you can write on with dry erase so you can draw out if you want it to. If you're over the age of 75 and don't trust GPS or technology.
I travel for work and I don't The problem is that I've had GPS my entire traveling career, so I don't know for a fact. But I realized I go to these cities and like then I'll go back to the city. And like I little pockets, I'll know my way around. Like Seattle. I go to Seattle fairly regularly and I know my way around the airport. I know my way around going to the particular hotels that I go to. But like I just get in the Uber and then it goes. And then I'm just like heads down on my phone doing whatever. Like maybe I look out the window for a little bit, but I have no idea if my hotel is east or west or north or south of the airport. Like, I don't know. And like, I have no ability. Like if you were just like, no GPS allowed, you need to get from here to there in the city of Seattle. And I've been to that city 50 times, more than 100 days of my life. I've been traveling around going from place to place in the city of Seattle. And I would have no idea how to even start. Are you directionally challenged?
I mean, if you had a map and a compass, or just a map at least, you couldn't find your way based on just a map in Seattle or any city that you've been in before. Maybe not just Seattle, like any city you've been in before, somebody gave you a map. You couldn't find your way around.
I guess if I was given a map, I could. But I'm saying that like I have no mental recollection of landmarks that I've navigated by. Like I've just been looking at the phone like, oh, turn right here. So like, I can't tell you like, oh, I always turn left at the blue building. Nope. No idea.
Well, here we use landmarks that aren't even here anymore. So when people are telling you a direction, they'll say like the old White Castle or where the toy tiger was. And you're like, oh yeah, I know where that's at. But if you haven't lived here in the past 20 years, 30 years, you're like, what? Huh? Unless somebody explains it to you and says, oh, this is where this is and that's what's here now. You're like, oh, why don't you just say what's there now? Well, that's not how we give directions around here. We use defunct landmarks that you have to either decipher or have lived here or known somebody that's lived here that can tell you what it is.
But this is
it's confusing. It's to keep out the pests and the newcomers. It's like, we don't want you. Don't move here.
That is actually this is the other reason, right? So I lived in Tokyo for a while, and that's actually what they did, is that the streets of Tokyo are designed to be confusing on purpose. Specifically because the emperor was like, if I make my city really complicated, people who aren't from here, like invaders, will get lost on the way to my castle to come kill me.
And just give up.
And people who live here, of course, they know how to get around. So you talk about like places that used to burn down, or like that's where the toy tiger used to be. I don't even know what that means.
It was a club.
You take a city block in Tokyo. They take a group of blocks. They give that group of blocks a number. Then they take a block in that group of blocks. They give that a number. So now you've got two different numbers. They're all sequential. And then in that block, then they have buildings.
What?
So you end up, so an address is three numbers. It'll be like 2-7-5. And then that, so that'll be those three numbers. And the numbers get progressively more specific. So the 2 is like the group of blocks, and then the 7 is one block, and then 5 is the building on the block. But the 5 is not in any way related to its location on the block. It means it was the 5th building built on that block.
Wow.
And if they tear down building number 5 and build a new building where building number 5 was, they'd be like, well, it's the 17th building now. And the address just changes because the building is newer.
What?
Than 16. Yep. Yep. So while I was living there.
Well, that hurts my head.
My house was number 11. The house next to me was number 6. But they tore down house number 6 and built a new house while I was living there. And after the new house was built, it was 15. So the same people lived there. They tore down their house. They built a new house.
What?
Uh-huh. they tore down their house. They built a new house and they got a new address, but they lived in the same place.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but neither does navigating by where the toy tiger used to be.
I mean, exactly. I don't know which one is more ridiculous.
At least they write it down.
At least they write it down and it's put in some kind of records and I'm assuming kept somewhere at a
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
government building. But at least using a they're both ridiculous. I don't know which one's more ridiculous. Renumbering a building just because it's been rebuilt, even though it's in the exact same location. And then on top of that, just numbering everything based on when it was built instead of its location within it. It's like, okay, this is based on location. This one's based on location. Then this one is just like whatever number it was mm-hmm. built in the order in yeah. those two locations.
Just to be confusing.
Makes sense. Throw it all off. Fuck it. Whatever. We're going off the rails. Sake bombs.
You know what always brings the show back to the rails, Dev?
Yeah!
It's summertime in the top half of the world, Apocalyptos, and many of you will be at the beach or the pool craving a margarita or a refreshing drink. With the BlendJet 2, the ultimate portable blender, that craving can now be satisfied. It's small enough to fit in a cup holder, but powerful enough to blast through tough ingredients like ice and frozen fruit with ease. BlendJet 2 is portable, so you can blend up a smoothie at work, a protein shake at the gym, or even that margarita on the beach. It's whisper quiet, ensuring you can enjoy your morning smoothie without waking up the whole house. It lasts for over 15 blends, recharges quickly via USB-C, and it even cleans itself. Just blend water with a drop of soap and you're good to go. Available in over 30 colors and patterns, there's a BlendJet 2 for every taste and style. What are you waiting for? Go to blendjet.com and grab yours today. And be sure to use the promo code DEVANDKYLE, DEVANDKYLE, to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. No other portable blender on the market comes close to the quality, power, and innovation of the BlendJet 2. They guarantee you'll love it or your money back. Blend anytime, anywhere with the BlendJet 2 portable blender. Go to blendjet.com and the promo code DEVANDKYLE to get 12% off your order and free 2-day shipping. Shop today and get the best deal ever.
All right, Dev, it's joke time.
It's joke time.
A weasel walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Wow, a weasel? I've never served a weasel here before. What can I get you?" Pop goes the weasel.
And the weasel drinks pop. Ba-dum-bum. Shh.
Pop goes the weasel, Dev. You never heard that song before?
Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Oh, yeah. I was singing it earlier today in the car, to be honest. It's one of those songs that
is like one. Is that like a Louisville top 40? Pop goes the weasel.
Top. Yeah, it's on the top 40. It's on the top 40 of friggin' Cocoa Melon. Oh, I have a disdain for Cocoa Melon. But speaking of disdain,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking about Disney flicks a little bit earlier,
mm-hmm.
and everybody, all of our fans know I like to poke. I don't poke the bear. Nobody pokes the bear. Never poke the bear. But I do poke the mouse.
God damn it, Dev. You're going to get... This is going to be the end of this show.
I do poke the mouse. And right now, hey, this is the perfect time to poke the mouse because of what's going on with the strikes.
Oh, sure.
You look surprised.
No, I didn't know when
yeah.
the mouse would be distracted, but you're right.
This is the perfect time to poke the mouse.
It is.
The mouse needs to be like cattle prodded.
Kicked in the jimmies.
Not just poked. Maybe put into like a headlock, like just repeatedly punch right in the orbital socket over and over. Bob Iger. I mean, sorry, mouse.
He really put his foot in it, didn't he?
Yeah, I said it. I will say this right now. If there was ever a time for us to be in, I guess we're in the entertainment industry in this podcast to a degree.
We're exactly the same as Hollywood actors.
We're not SAG members or Writers Guild members. We'd like to be if you guys are ever offering.
Yeah.
But we've got a platform to voice and
yeah.
fuck you, Bob Iger and all the other executives. Go suck a bunch of bag of dicks. Starting with that fucking mouses.
We're never going to end up on the world's most expensive scuba mask if you're not nicer to the mouse.
Or will we? This is our chance right here to make a big scene or something. I don't know. I blame the concussion. I poke the mouse. Poke, poke, poke. In his big floppy ears. In his stupid theme park.
On the subject of you poking people.
Not people. Mouse. Mice. Mice.
Did you hear about all the feet washing up in Seattle and other places along the Pacific Ocean?
The feet?
I can tell on your face that this...
Like human feet?
Yes, that this is completely new to you.
No, this is shocking. Is this a joke time? Are you taking me left field on this to like make me laugh?
This is not a joke time. You're going to learn so much in the next 5 minutes because the mystery has been solved, Dev. But you don't even know what the mystery is. That's a little foreshadowing for you. So
they found Dexter Morgan, real life Dexter Morgan.
Maybe. You don't know.
Maybe.
So circa 2006, 2007, feet, dismembered human feet in their shoes start washing up on the beaches of Washington. And then they find like two, but they're not. When you say 2 feet, people think like, oh, okay, they found 2 feet. Nope. Two right feet. One was a size 10 and one was a size 12. They find them like back to back.
Or heel to heel.
And they think, oh no, oh no, this is a problem. We're finding feet. They're finding like, and then it keeps happening. More feet. Something like a total of 20 or 25 unmatched feet. Never the other side of a foot have washed up on the beaches of the Pacific Northwest. Decomposing, almost always in a shoe of some kind, and they didn't know what's going on. They're trying like serial killer. They're looking for missing people. They're not finding it. They start doing DNA. They're not finding matches with missing people. Nothing. They've solved the mystery, Dev.
Recently.
Yeah.
Recently solved the mystery. This happened in 2006, 2007, but they just recently solved it.
No, it's been happening. No. It's just been happening this whole time. There's 25 feet over the course of the last 15 years, whatever that is.
Oh, still?
Yeah, it's still happening. It keeps going.
Holy crap.
Yeah. The mystery is, trigger warning. It's a little gross. When people like die at sea, they sink to the bottom of the ocean. And when a body goes to the bottom of the ocean, it gets set upon by scavengers and they eat the like soft tissue first, which is usually like the joints, and they eat through the joints. And one of those soft places is the ankle. Circa 2006, 2007, shoe manufacturers started putting more air in the soles of their shoes. And so it used to be that the fish would chew your foot off after you died at sea, and then your foot would just stay there right next to the fish in your shoe, and no one would ever see you again. But now what's happening is that they chew the foot free and the air in the soles of your Nikes brings it to the surface of the ocean. And then the current takes it to the beaches.
Thanks, Phil Knight.
And that's why it happens. And that's why people are finding these feet. They're not from missing people. They're from people who are confirmed, lost at sea, dead. And their Nikes and their Reeboks. And I don't want to single out any kind of shoe manufacturer. They're Adidas, whatever.
And their Under Armour and their Skechers.
Skechers are super light.
And more recently, they're On, the Swiss company.
On the...
The O-N, On, whatever it is.
Is that a real company? They should sponsor the show.
They should. Roger Federer is a spokesman. He has his own line with them. The Roger.
Of tennis shoes?
Yes. Yes. They're trying to make it big in tennis, but they also have running shoes and casual shoes. And they're super lightweight. Like they feel like they're hardly anything. And they look pretty good too. I don't know. They're pretty expensive. I have not decided to buy a pair yet just because they're more expensive than Nikes.
What the hell? If I buy a pair of shoes that's more expensive than Nikes, those shoes better be trying out to be the president of the ocean.
Supposedly they're Swiss engineered and they're supposed to be the best shoe for your feet and just your whole overall spinal and joint alignment and cushioning and such. Da, 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 da. Science, bitch.
I don't know, man. I'll let you spend your Brewster's millions on those.
I'll buy you a pair when I win the Mega Millions.
That's a great trade.
That'll be my gift to you. Not $1 million. Here's a pair of shoes.
I mean, they might be worth the same amount.
If they're dipped in gold and platinum and diamonds.
All right, man. Well, you're particularly concussed. So there's only one thing left to say tonight, Dev. I have been Kyle.
And I have been out of my head.
And we have attempted to start the apocalypse. Good night, everybody.
I'm Batman.
Dev and Kyle Start the Apocalypse is brought to you every other week with a full archive available at devandkyle.com. The Apocalypse theme and other music in the show is written and performed by Chase Noseworthy. He's Chase Noseworthy on YouTube or at NoseworthyChase on Twitter. All graphic design for Dev and Kyle Start the Apocalypse has been created by Dead Vision. Find her work on Twitter and Insta at xdadotter and book her immense talents at xdadotter.com. Audio engineering provided by Cassandra Umsong. She can make you sound even better than Dev and Kyle because you'll provide much better raw materials. Get in touch with her on Twitter at coffeewithcoom. That's coffee with C-O-U-M. Dev and Kyle support artists and creatives of all types. Exposure is for film. Artists need compensation. If you're interested in becoming an apocalypto to help keep supporting all of the artists who make Dev and Kyle sound passably professional, please consider becoming a sustaining patron at patreon.com/devandkyle. Show notes, transcripts, and any other information from this episode should be available at devandkyle.com if Dev and or Kyle did their job. Fingers crossed. Finally, deeply and sincerely, Dev and Kyle think that you are a wonderful person who deserves love and compassion. We hope our small gift of what we consider interesting or entertaining has made your day even the tiniest bit better. Thank you for liking or subscribing in your favorite podcast app. And if you think others may want to know about this show, consider leaving a review in that same podcast app. It really helps us spread the word. Thank you.